Thank you, Mr. Hawk, and good afternoon, brethren. I feel like that's really close today. Happy Sabbath to everyone. Brought my glasses, good news. Hope everyone's doing well. It's good to see everyone. It's just a beautiful day today. Well, a little known fact about me, I am an avid fisherman. I go fishing regularly. In fact, over the last 18 years, I have gone fishing hundreds of times. Most of what I know about fishing, I learned from others. From an early age, my dad taught me the basics, but later in life, I learned most of my techniques from my former boss. He taught me what string to use, the best weights, and the ins and outs of where and how to fish. While I enjoy personal fishing, most of the fishing I do now is commercial. I go fishing a lot for my current job. Over the years, I've learned a lot of lessons from fishing, and I believe some of them apply to our calling. Today, I want to share some of those lessons. I realize fishing itself is naturally pretty boring. It's not a very exciting topic. So hearing about lessons from fishing sounds exponentially more boring, but I'll try my best to keep your attention. Before we continue, I should probably tell you that my style of fishing is a little unusual, a little out of the ordinary. See, I don't go fishing for bass or walleye or muskie. The only real fish I've ever caught in the water were just tiny little bluegill. I rarely go fishing in the water. I do my fishing inside. I know not a lot of people fish inside, but I do. And I don't catch fish. I go fishing for wires. I do electrical work. And fishing for electric wires means getting wires in hard-to-get spots. Fishing for wires mostly involves working in attics and basements, drilling holes in walls, dropping strings and rods or fish tapes through the walls, and then retrieving them on the other side in order to pull electric wires where you want them to go. Now, I don't do this often. It's probably a terrible idea, actually, but I made a prop. I thought it would be helpful if I could show you what I do. So this is the wall. This is the attic. So I go in the attic, and I find the top of the wall, and I take my drill, and I go down through the stud, and now I have a hole. So I have a hole to drop a string down the wall. I'm trying to get a wire to the box that's in the wall. So I take my string, and I put a weight on it, and I drop the string down the hole. And then I take my handy-dandy wire with a little hook on it. I reach in the box. I'm really close to the microphone now. I'm yelling. And I hook the string, pull the string through, and then I have fished the box. And then I can tie a wire on and pull the wire down through the box. That's my fishing. Thought it'd be helpful. Maybe that was dumb. I don't know. Pretty cool, though. I will tell my Uncle Gary I did not use any materials from work. These are my own personal studs. I know they're like $50 a stud. Those are my scrap pieces. Fishing for wires in houses can be a tedious, difficult, frustrating process, but it can also yield a very rewarding accomplishment when done correctly. So what does all this talk about fishing have to do with our calling? Today I want to show that we are called to be fishers. And we'll get to that. There are six lessons from fishing that I want to share today that I believe will help us see that we are called to be fishermen and that we have a job to do. So six lessons from fishing. Lesson number one, we have been fished. I didn't wake up one day and just decide to start doing electric work or rewiring houses or fishing for wires. I got a job working for an electrician. It was basically handed to me, but I got a job working for an electrician. I started on my 19th birthday, in fact. and the electrician taught me how to do electrical work, how to rewire houses, and how to fish for wires. I didn't just naturally know, I had to learn. I wasn't born with an innate ability to do electrical work. I was taught. So I got fished before I started fishing. Likewise, we too, brethren, did not wake up one day and decide we would know God's truth. We didn't decide that we would live his way of life and be a member of his church. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This is something God chose for us. We are part of his plan. God fished us first. Ephesians chapter 1, and we will read verses 3 through 10. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him." God fished us first. We didn't decide to be called. God called us. Then we decided whether or not to act on that calling. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. We were living in darkness before God called us. It took his calling, his opening of our eyes, to see that. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 9 through 12. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." We've been called and chosen and set apart as God's people. He chose us. He fished us first. We have been fished. Lesson number 2. Now we are fishermen. Now we are fishermen. Once I learned from my boss how to fish, then it was time to get to work. It was time for me to be a fisherman. It was time to practice my trade. This didn't come easily for me. I'm a very slow learner. It takes me a long time. I don't know if it's my brain or what, but it takes me a long time to learn. Pulling and fishing for wires takes practice. Like many things, the best way to learn how to do something is to practice doing it. You have to do it. The more you practice something, the better you get at it, and the more comfortable you get by doing it. It took me a while to learn, but that's what I was hired for. I had to do it. That was my job. I was hired to do the work. Likewise, God called us out of the world. He opened our eyes to the truth. We learned how to live his way of life. We learned about his plan of salvation for mankind. But he didn't just call us for our own sake, for our own personal salvation. That's part of it, but there's more to it. He called us to do a work. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4, and verse 18. Matthew 4:18. Here we find Jesus Christ calling two of his disciples, Peter and Andrew. He was calling them to follow him. Matthew 4 and verse 18, and we'll read through verse 20. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Follow me, and I will put you to work. God called them to be fishers of men. He called them out of the world. Jesus Christ personally taught them God's way of life. He taught them about salvation. He showed them the big picture. They were to follow him around and learn about him and how he lived. But then it was time to work. It was time to do the job he called them for. Let's turn over to Mark, next chapter, or next book, Mark chapter 6, verse 7. Mark 6, verse 7, we aren't called to a life of ease. We aren't called to sit around and play video games and watch television and scroll on our phones. All good things in very small amounts. We're called to do a job. We're called to work. Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. "And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Also he said to them, 'In whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city.' So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them." The disciples got to work. We too have work to do. We are to be about our Father's business. We were first fished, but now we are fishermen. Lesson number 3. Fishing takes a team effort. Fishing takes a team effort. Fishing for wires by yourself is not fun. And sometimes it's even impossible. Many times I need someone on the other end who I can communicate with, and together we can accomplish the task. We can pull the wire. We can fish the string. Fishing wires by yourself takes much longer. It's a lot of climbing up in the attic and getting back down, and climbing up and getting back down. And it's much more difficult by yourself, and sometimes, like I said, impossible. Fishing as a team is much more productive. A team can work together. They can learn from one another. They think things through together. They can make a plan together and accomplish much more together. Likewise, God has a fishing team. Jesus Christ didn't go through the land preaching the gospel by himself. He assembled a team of disciples. They worked together as a team. He called us into his church to be a part of his team. He calls people in the world through his church, through the message the team preaches, through the literature and the website that the team produces, and through our individual example. We may not be going into the world individually and preaching repentance like John the Baptist did, but we are part of a team. We're involved in the fishing process by supporting the work, by contributing to the work, and being a light for the world to see. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. The fishing process takes a team effort, and each of us is an important part of that team. We can never think that our role is not important, because we are all important members of the team. Ephesians 4 and verse 11, and we'll read through verse 16. "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We are team members. We are all important parts of the body of Christ. We all work together as a team. We are all important. God is calling people out of the world. He is fishing, and we are all a part of his fishing team. He may draw people through the website or the magazine or even through an individual conversation we have. We are part of the body of Christ. We are team members. If we ever start to feel like we aren't fishermen, like we aren't important, or like our contribution doesn't matter, we must remember that we are part of the body. We can't all be prophets or evangelists. We all have our own role. We are all important, and it takes a whole body, a whole team. We are part of the fishing team, and fishing takes a team effort. Lesson number 4. Fishing requires faith and patience. Fishing requires faith and patience. Anytime I am fishing for wires inside a wall, I can't see what's going on inside the wall. I cheated with that one because I left the back open so I could see where the string was. But in a real wall, you can't see inside the wall. I'm planning on inventing an X-ray machine for fishing walls so that I could see inside the walls. Haven't developed that technology yet, but I'm going to. I'm very smart. No, I'm not. I know nothing about that. I can't see what's going on inside the wall. I know the string or the fish tape is in there, but I can't see it. I have to trust that I ran it in the right place. You do a lot of measuring, you do a lot of checking, and you try to get it in the right place, and you hope that you'll be able to hook that string. Sometimes I can fish a wire on my first try. I've even dropped the string right into the box. It's a great feeling. It's like swishing a three-pointer. Other times it can take a long time, sometimes embarrassingly long. I may have to make several different attempts at different angles, down different holes. Sometimes you don't want to go in the attic and see how many holes I drilled till I finally got the right spot before I fished that wire successfully. There are times when I want to give up. There are times when I lose my patience. There are times when things aren't going how I think that they should. Likewise, fishing for men requires faith and patience. We humans, we like to see results. We like to look at graphs and charts and see progress from our efforts. We like to associate increased growth with our increased efforts. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28, very familiar scripture. Matthew 28 and verse 19. Sometimes it feels like our efforts are in vain. Sometimes we feel like growth in the church is so slow. Sometimes we might even wonder if we're doing something wrong. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. We're just going to jump in and read verse 19. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Jesus Christ's commission is still the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. Go fishing. Preach the gospel to every nation. Or as Mark puts it, preach the gospel to every creature. We must continue to do our job. Preach the gospel. Keep fishing. One more familiar scripture, John chapter 6 and verse 44. John 6 and verse 44. If we do our job, God will take care of the rest. There is no quota, no daily catch amount. There's no graph to show how exactly God works or how he thinks. God hasn't put that burden on us. He tells us to do our job. John 6 and verse 44. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." I really appreciate this verse. Do your job, and God will do his. He will call whom he desires. God is in complete control. We're blessed to be a part of the fishing team with him. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, there is no quota. He is working with who he is working with. We keep fishing no matter what we catch. This takes faith and it takes patience. God will take care of the rest. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Again, we'll jump into this. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight. If we walk by sight, we are limiting God. We can't see the things he sees. We can't see inside the wall. Sight is physical. We can't get stuck in that physical. Faith is spiritual, and we walk by faith. We keep going forward by faith. We keep following God by faith. We keep setting a good example by faith, and we keep fishing by faith." Lesson number 5. Fishing is difficult and can be dangerous. Fishing is difficult and can be dangerous. Fishing for wires is difficult. Just think about the attic. Some people don't even know where the attic is in their house. Attics are hard to get to. There's a reason you have to climb up a ladder and crawl through a little hole to get into the attic. Because you're not supposed to go in there. Nobody wants to go in the attic. Why would anyone want to go in the attic? Except for my kids, every time I climb up. Can I come up in the attic? There's nothing good about an attic. They're right below the roof. So they're hot in the summer and they're cold in the winter. They're filthy. They're covered with insulation. Usually the dusty, dirty, hard to breathe in, stick to your sweaty arms kind of insulation, the blown in insulation. Roofers nail the shingles down through the sheeting with extra long nails, so there's razor sharp nails sticking down through the sheeting near your head at all times. And the roof line on a house usually slopes down to the edge. That leaves you barely a chance to crawl through that dusty, dirty, hard to breathe in insulation to where you can just barely reach where you're trying to get to. And then you can't see the tops of the walls through the insulation, so you are digging down through the insulation to find where to drill. Once you dig through the insulation, then you find where you think you want to drill. You measure downstairs, but it's a whole different game upstairs. You then drill a hole down through what you hope is the right spot and not through the living room ceiling. Yes, I have made that mistake a few times. Then you drop a string down the hole to the box you're trying to get the wire to. Down to the box, you try to hook the string with the small wire. We already went through that. In that little hole in the box, you hook it with your wire. Then you tie the wire onto the end of the string in the attic and pull the wire down through the hole, through the wall, and into the box. If this sounds easy, you're on my nerves. Because it's not easy. That's my point. This whole process is hard. It combines tight spaces. And when you combine tight spaces with exertion with power tools, ladders, sharp nails, hot drill bits, hole saws, sharp edges, splintered boards, razor knives, there's potential for injury. You can hurt yourself. I've had countless injuries, sounds ridiculous, while fishing. Fishing for wires is difficult and it can be dangerous. Likewise, fishing for men is difficult and can be dangerous. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Matthew 10 and verse 16. It's important that we don't get caught off guard. We're told many times throughout the Bible to beware. We need to beware of the difficulty and danger looming. Matthew 10 verses 16 through 22. "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." Our job is not easy. The task ahead is difficult. But we have an awesome calling. We have an important job to do. We are preaching a message of hope to the hopeless world. We heard two excellent messages last week about the coming tribulation. While preaching the gospel and fishing for men may not be dangerous yet, perilous times, they are a-coming. We keep fishing despite the difficulty and despite the danger. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans 8 and verse 31. Romans 8, verse 31. We can take comfort in Paul's words here in Romans chapter 8. We'll read verses 31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God, of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lesson number six. Lesson number six. Fishing is rewarding. Fishing is rewarding. Fishing for wires is hard, but it is rewarding. I love that feeling of hooking the string. It never gets old. The harder the situation is, the more difficult it is to fish that wire, the more rewarding the catch is. There is a tremendous satisfaction when you're able to accomplish a difficult task. Likewise, fishing for men is hard, but it is rewarding. We know that God's plan is not to call everyone at this time, but he is calling some, and we are a part of that process. We are part of the team. How exciting is it to see new babies born into the church? And how exciting is it to see kids going to summer camp and learning about God's way? And how exciting is it to look in the back of the One Accord magazine and see the stories of those who were recently baptized? How exciting is it to hear of someone coming into the church for the first time? It's exciting. Fishing is very rewarding. Luke chapter 15. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 15, verse 4. Luke 15 and verse 4. As exciting as it is for us, think how much more exciting it is for God. Luke chapter 15 and verse 4. Christ speaks a parable here, and we'll read verse 4 through 7. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. We do our job because that's what we are called to do. But there is a great reward in it. Let's turn over to one last scripture over in Revelation. Let's go to the end of the book. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. We know the plan. We know the future. That's what keeps us going. It's what drives us forward toward the finish line. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly. and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Fishing is rewarding. Well, that's it. That's all I know about fishing. Six lessons, that's it. I'm done. We have been fished. We are now fishers. Fishing takes a team. Fishing requires faith and patience. Fishing is difficult and dangerous. And fishing is rewarding. Let's keep working and striving forward together as a team, as a fishing team. Jesus Christ is coming. Our eternal reward is coming. So meanwhile, let's keep fishing.